Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Download it. Look for WILK News Radio, favorite it, and that's it. You're done. You have us each every day. You can listen to the playback, rewind feature, pause. It'll pick up where you left off. It hooks right up to your CarPlay seamlessly. It's a great little thing to have. How's everybody doing on this Tuesday, June 24th, 2025? It is 309, 96 degrees outside. Yes, I'm in today. Really thought about not being. Got the little guy, little Bubs is at the house, my grandson. Been playing with him all morning. And when it came time to go to work, I didn't want to go. They were just about to run some errands and then get in the pool. By the time I get home, I'll only have an hour or so with him, and then he's off to bed. And then they're out of here tomorrow. So, but I'm in. I have responsibility to you guys, my listeners, and I take that seriously. So here I am. And we're going to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about, plus the little schedule that I got planned for you today. Lots happening. Is there a war? Isn't there a war? Listen, you listen to some of the news agencies. I was promised a war, and it doesn't appear that that's the case. And listen, regardless of what side of the spectrum you're on, and I really don't care, the fact that Iran and Israel are even talking through intermediaries is a miracle, is something that needs to be highlighted greatly. Now, if it holds or not, you know, I know there were some stress points. And when you heard the ceasefire, right after the show ended yesterday, this news of the ceasefire started coming out. But both sides had a few hours till it ended because they had ongoing operations. So, you're listening, there's a ceasefire or there's not. That's my opinion. I think that's most average thinking people's opinion. You know, if you're going to have a ceasefire, you have a ceasefire. Not, well, we'll have a ceasefire after we blow you up a few more times. And you have to realize that there's factions on both sides, both in Iran and Israel, that don't want this to happen. You have to figure you have people in Israel, in the military and in their upper tiers of elected office, saying, listen, we have free reign over Iran right now. They are helpless. We could do whatever we want. We can make monumental gains as moving them back militarily. And you have Iran, where you have people that truly believe they are the saber-rattling, believe everything they see from the Ayatollah, greatest country in the world, most powerful country in the world. Why in God or Allah's name would we agree to a ceasefire when we're winning this thing? Because they truly believe that. And it's interesting, if you look at our local newspapers today, the headlines, they made it seem like this strike from Iran in this Qatar U.S. base, where they lobbed about six missiles at us and hit absolutely nothing. I think they had trouble hitting the ground. They make it seem like, so someone reading these headlines would say, oh my God, you see, this is what we were telling you. We're in danger. Our men and women, our military are in danger. They did not hit a thing. Matter of fact, they told us they were shooting them before they did it and said, we have to do it to show face to our people. It's a charade. It's a game that they are playing. But you have to realize that it's a power struggle inside Iran, and they want to maintain that. There are factions of the Iranian people that do not want to live under oppression anymore, that want to live back the way it was prior to 1979, to where it was a very westernized, modern civilization, to where it was more like a Dubai or Saudi Arabia, or very open and free-flowing and had a great economy going. And if you look at it now, it's not so much. And you have everybody telling them time and time again that if they just change their ways, they will have a different type of society. And normal thinking people like you or I realize that. But I guess, it takes a lot to get through when you have that Stockholm syndrome or whatever you call it, to where you're comfortable being under oppression. So, but regardless to where we were, and put the rhetoric and politics aside, this is a monumental step that's happening right now, to where you had Israel and Iran pretty much all out at it. They weren't ground operations or anything like that, but they were pretty much all out at it. Iran was pretty much taking the beating side of it because they do not have the capabilities anymore. They've been devastated. They really don't have an option. But you also have a faction in Israel that's saying, we need to end this now. We need to end this because we can. This is the time. We have the upper hand. Let's not take no for an answer and continue what we need to do. So for America to influence this type of, all right, everybody take a step back. And you can tell the administration today, the American administration, the president was pissed off that it was not going as agreed to. And you have to realize there are multiple factions on both sides that are pushing. There are a lot of people in this world that want war, that make out very well when it's war. A lot of people get rich when there's war. A lot of things get misappropriated. A lot of things get misplaced. A lot of things happen during war. And it's not just the things we can think about where you have contracts and money and developers and all this people. You have to realize in these governments as well, maybe getting rid of people they don't care for in their own government. In the fog of war, they may be taken out. But, you go back in time a little bit, and I saw this today. Bill Clinton in 1995 said, we are determined to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, 1995. 2006, George W. Bush, Iran must not be allowed to develop nuclear weapons, period. That was 2006. Barack Obama in 2015, I have stated that Iran will never be allowed to obtain nuclear weapons. That was 2015, Barack Obama. Joe Biden in 2022. We will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon. 2022. 2025, Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Thank you for your attention in this matter. Donald J. Trump in 2025. You cannot continue telling the world death to America and that you will pay the price over and over again while there is clear evidence you are developing nuclear weapons. When you are getting past a 60% enrichment, you are developing a nuclear weapon. There is no peaceful use for that type of uranium. This has been going on and on again. It's interesting that one of the targets that Israel struck yesterday morning before the ceasefire was the Israeli destruction clock in Tel Aviv. I'm sorry, in Tehran, the capital of Iran. In Tehran, there is a clock, sort of like our debt clock that's in Times Square, if you've ever seen it. The national debt, where it's a huge billboard that ticks off how much we owe as Americans in national debt. Well, it was similar to that, but it was for the total annihilation and destruction of Israel. And it was counting down to 2040. 2040 was the deadline for Israel to be wiped off the map. And that's a clock in downtown Tehran. It's interesting that that was one of the targets blown up by Israeli fighters the other day. So however this leads, and I would say it's a long shot for any ceasefire to be maintained, especially under the scenario we're in now, especially with both sides, both Iran and Israel, not wanting one, to be honest with you. I think Iran definitely wants one more than Israel does, and I think Israel is only complying at the pressure of the United States. But it's a monumental moment just to have that talk going on, just to have an agreement. You literally had high-ranking Iranian officials contacting Reuters and other news agencies saying, yes, we did agree to a ceasefire, because people were saying, hearing it from the administration doesn't mean it's in fact true. Well, both Israel and the Iranian regime have said so much. How it stands, where it goes from here, I think is more fluid than just a, okay, we have a ceasefire, let's move on. I was talking to some people last night, and I kind of wish that the administration didn't come out so strongly and say, that's it, there's a ceasefire, look how great it is, we did it. Because I don't think it's that easy, but you have to realize how monumental this is. And I was kind of swayed to, yes, you do have to celebrate a moment like this, but I think because of the back and forth that's already happened after the supposed ceasefire, which now there's technicalities. Well, it didn't take effect. The hours, we still had some more hours to do what we needed to do under the agreement. that's neither here nor there. Either you have a ceasefire or you don't. Okay, you have 6 hours after the ceasefire agreement to cease operations. Well, of course, if you have the upper hand, you're going to pound as much as you can in 6 hours before you stop. That kind of defeats the intent of a ceasefire in my eyes. But where we go from here, we'll need to see. I think Iran is an utterly impotent military state right now. I don't think there's much of anything they could do. I think they've proven that time and time again. The fact that they haven't gotten one asset off the ground to challenge Israel or U.S. assets. The fact that yesterday they fired a half dozen missiles that had trouble hitting the ground, nonetheless anything strategic. Outside of some cyber attack or a homeland type attack, which we'll talk about because 11 Iranian nationals were arrested by Homeland Security, some of them with military links to the Iran regime, are the biggest threat for us here at home. As far as any material that may have gotten out to other hands in Iran, nuclear material is not hard to track due to it sets off certain signatures as far as radiation and such goes, even when it's shielded. So if it was moved anywhere, if it's being held anywhere in a non-secure facility that's encased, it won't be too hard to find. And other than that, how are they going to deliver anything? Because they haven't been able to deliver even a short or medium-range cruise missile to any sort of strategic capability. So I guess we'll see. But I think we should at least come together and see where politically there was half the nation yesterday or the day before saying, oh my God, we're on the cusp of war. We're in a war. We're on the cusp of World War III. And then all of a sudden we're not. And I don't think, and I've just read to you historically, going back to 1995, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump, all saying the same thing when it comes to Iran. Well, now it's done. Now they don't have a program anymore. And if they continue or try it up again, we've already shown that we can take it out anytime, any place we want. And not only did we show Iran that, we showed the world that. And when I had Brigadier General Blaine Holt on, talking about this yesterday, he said they woke up in North Korea that morning. They woke up in Russia. They woke up in China and said, oh my. And you have to look at the secondary powerful aspect of that because it definitely was noticed by all of them. It's 321 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 325 here, 96 degrees outside. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone. We have Jack from Scranton on Iran versus Israel. Jack.
Yeah, you there?
Yep,
can you're
you hear
there.
Me? Yes, I can.
Okay, I want to educate the American people. I want to educate the Democrats especially. Biden, for 4 years, he coddled with them. He was in bed with them. Trump had them on their knees when he left office. Now Trump came into office again. Now Trump did what he had to do. And that's all there is to it. If these nuts ever got a hold of a nuclear bomb, they're terrorists. And not only that, if somebody else took that country over, another terrorist, some country would bite the bullet. That's all there is to it.
Well, I agree. We have to look back that they've been, through their proxies, have been shooting at Americans for well over a decade, if not a few decades.
And like you said before, a lot of these countries woke up because from day to day, a lot of these countries militarily doesn't know what Trump is going to do. He keeps them off balance all the time. And when Biden was in there, they knew they could play games with him all the time and get away with it. It's a big difference between Trump and Biden. You have a real man in the White House now. You have like a little baby who was in the White House who really didn't know, have any faculties. He never even ran the country. I think everybody else ran the country besides him.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have either side, you know, playing their politics when it involves this. But if you get back to the core of what we saw this past weekend, peace through strength actually does work. And we always knew that. It's just we've gotten away from that.
Sure. It's like this. Like, if the guy across the street has a gun and he says he's coming over to get your kids, well, you know, if you know he's coming over to get your kids, you got to have a bigger gun and go after him and stop him from coming after your kids, or else you're an idiot. The way it is, you know?
All right, Jack, I appreciate you checking in.
Okay. All right, thank you.
We're going to move on with some local stuff, and then we're going to get back to this because I'm sure it's not going away. The IAEA chief is on TV right now talking about how successful the nuke strike was. The International Atomic Energy Agency director is saying a lot of impact on Iran nuke sites and that the strike was very successful. So that's coming from the IAEA chief right now in an interview that I'm seeing on TV. I really can't get the audio, but I can get the gist of the subtitles that are coming by. But again, a little closer to our area, a startup to create 200-plus jobs at Pittston Township Bottling Plant. Good news for our area, Pittston Co-Packers Corporation will open its first beverage production operation in the U.S., injecting $30 million into the local economy and creating at least 226 new full-time jobs in Luzerne County within the next 3 years. And this announcement's coming from Governor Josh Shapiro. The company has acquired the equipment, the balance of Juriki Beverages lease at 575 Research Drive in Pittston Township, which permanently closed in January of 2025. Pittston Co-Packers will produce beverages for top U.S. brand contracts that were held by the prior corporation and provide job opportunities for the company's former employees. This project is a win for workers, a win for Pittston, and a win for Pennsylvania, Shapiro said in a news release. By choosing Pennsylvania for its first U.S. beverage production operation, Pittston Co-Packers is bringing new energy to a shuttered facility, creating hundreds of good-paying jobs, and helping drive economic growth in Luzerne County. The company received a funding proposal from the State Department of Community and Economic Development for a $1 million PA First grant and $76,000 for Weed Ent PA grant, that's W-E-D-N-E-ET PA, grant to train workers. So if you're looking for a job here in Pittston, the next 3 years, they will be hiring another almost 230 employees, which is a good thing. It's interesting that this company did close down in January of 2025, and I guess there's enough interest in our economy to invest millions of dollars, $30 million, into our little area right here in Pittston Township. So it's good for our area. It's good for the American economy. And it's good for the workers that have another place here that they can go to go on with our lives. Because that's really what all we're looking for, right? I mean, we just want to live our day-to-day lives without worries or hassles. And the worries and hassles come enough on their own. We don't need to create more. So it's interesting to see the governor and these people jump on these things, because the positive news is all there. You know, I'm sure he was nowhere to be found when the plant closed down in January. But now that there's a place there, it's all sunshines and rainbows. But we have to realize the economy and the administration that's creating those sunshines and rainbows now, and that progressive look forward to our economy, to manufacturing, to the American worker. So good news for our area. Good news indeed. I also did see that Office of the Governor of Pennsylvania about a half hour ago put out that he's calling for $10 million to help first-time home buyers with closing costs so they can put a roof over their head and have a real chance at build generational wealth. It's common sense, and it helped more Pennsylvanians pursue the American dream. Well, I would say, how about we put that $10 million towards the people who have homes to keep them in them? People on fixed incomes and on social securities that can't afford their property tax, instead of giving incentives for people to buy new homes. It's always the people who struggle and do it on their own who come in last, it seems. When it comes to student loans, now down payments for new homes, it's always the people who figured it out, who worked extra hard to get it done. But, you know, there's no extra working hard. There's no getting it done. There's no having a work ethic that you don't take no for an answer, and you're going to do what you need to do to get the things you need, as far as working two or three jobs, working long hours, working overtime. because people always said, well, you got a handout somehow. You know, you were given money. It was there. You had to have some kind of a special benefit to get yourself to where you are to now. It couldn't possibly be hard work and you rolled your sleeves up and got your hands dirty. We all know the truth, though. It's 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Well, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez are complaining that they were given no intelligence. That's an understatement now, wouldn't you say? Nothing we could do about that, ladies. That's a you problem. That's not an us problem. So Luzerne County is considering a no-interest loan of $500,000 to the city of Wilkes-Barre for sewer repairs. Wilkes-Barre sewer system is in dire need of repairs, according to a proposed resolution that would authorize the loan. Council is scheduled to vote on the resolution at Tuesday's meeting. The city would have 5 years to pay the loan back to the county at $8,333 a month, County Budget and Finance Division Head Mary Roselli told the council during a work session on June 10th. The loan from the county's Community Development Fund would repair a sewer at Conham and North Pennsylvania Avenues. It's a sewer 30 feet deep, and it's completely collapsed. And it's a major emergency, Council Vice Chairman Brian Thornton said. Wilkes-Barre Mayor George Brown asked the county to help fund the sewer repairs in other parts of the city, but the administration only agreed to fund repairs at this avenue. Stated, it was very quizzical to me. We have a lot of road and bridges that need to be repaired. We've got sewage here that stinks. We've got sewage problems here in Luzerne County at our courthouse, Councilman Harry Haas said at a work session. I'm all ears. I'm just scratching my head on this one. Councilwoman Brittany Stevenson responded to Haas's comments. I think it's shocking. I said I don't think I've ever heard Luzerne County Council be so reluctant to support municipalities before. Haas replied, it's not the council, it's just me. I don't mean to be antagonistic. I'm not throwing up flags, but I think we have a lot of things to spend money on. I don't know. I don't think that it's unreasonable to bring up. So it looks like there's some dissension, but if there's an emergency, there's an emergency. And I understand it's the city of Wilkes-Barre. I understand it's also in the county of Luzerne. At what point do, you know, you have to start working together? And I think that's a big big part of this. $500,000 is a lot. It doesn't say any terms in this the article that covers this. I'm sure they'll be discussing it. I'm sure it's zero or very low interest coming from the county to the city. And it doesn't say what the city is putting towards this as well. You know, if this is a $1 million project in the county, they're borrowing $500,000 from the county and another $500,000 they're using out of their own coffers. I think it would be a little more palatable for everyone involved, but with the limited information we have here, you know, if it's a collapsed sewer drain, what's the downside? Is it going to cause millions of dollars of damage if it's not fixed? Well, then something needs to be done. You know, emergency needs to be dealt with. How it's dealt with for the best interest of the taxpayers, all taxpayers, because I would imagine City of Wilkes-Barre taxpayers are also Luzerne County taxpayers. Excuse me. So we'll see where that heads, but if you are in the city of Wilkes-Barre or Luzerne County, you might want to check out your meeting tonight, your council meeting, because it looks like on the table, on the agenda, is a $500,000 loan, no interest loan. There you go, no interest loan to the city of Wilkes-Barre for sewer repairs. We'll see where that goes. It's 3:40 here at WILK, 96 degrees. We will be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Textmaster texted, it's only a no-interest loan if payments are paid on time and paid in full. Well, it doesn't have the details in the article. It says it's a no-interest loan. I would imagine that if the payments aren't made in a timely fashion, it would be silly if there's not some sort of interest or penalty triggers that kick in if that's the case. So I don't know that, but I would assume any good manager would make sure that there's some sort of trigger to make sure that payments are timely and in full. If not, penalties or interest rates kick in. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll hear more of it. We'll see. There seemed to be a raucous debate about it during the work session, so we'll see what happens as it comes to a vote today. The Wilkes-Barre-Scranton International Airport gets nearly $600,000 for infrastructure projects. Both grants totaling $334,524 and the other one for $241,300 were awarded as part of the Federal Aviation Administration's fiscal year 2025 Airport Infrastructure Grant Program, created under the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Program provides funding for airport runways, taxiways, safety and sustainability investments, as well as terminal, airport transit, and roadway projects, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. Also known as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. What's that? Does that even exist anymore? Huh. The legislation allocated $20 billion in new federal spending over a five-year period for airport infrastructure. Nearly $335,000 federal AIG grant, U.S. Representative Rob Bresnahan of Dallas Township announced Friday, supports a broader project extending the existing Taxiway B at AVP. It's the airport here, if you don't know. The local airport's FAA code name, by 1,200 feet. A press release notes, it specifically supports some security gate work associated with relocation of an air traffic control access road, and that's coming from the AVP Director of Engineering. It's a multi-phase project, as you can imagine. He said the taxiway extension, the entire project, was approximately $20 million. This most recent portion was to handle some coordination that we needed to do with an access road, and that we have for our FAA tower, relocation of the road and the security gates that needed to be put in front of that road. So that's what this funding satisfied. That portion of the work that we needed in order to implement the overall taxiway extension program. So it's good to see work at our local airport here. The $241,000 AIG grant, meanwhile, supports the initial phase of the airport's structural integrity initiative, rehabilitating more than 55,000 square yards of airport apron pavement, per the release. The apron area supports the loading, unloading, and refueling and maintenance of aircrafts. We've seen the ridership grow at our local airport now that it's going to better and more desirable destinations. I hope that continues. We will continue to push that here. Hopefully can put some little birds in their ear to get some destinations on. Virginia Beach, thank you. Boston, maybe. Would love to see Nashville still. But they are flying to a couple places in Florida. They do fly to Philly. They do fly to Chicago. You can get a lot of connecting flights there. But I think for our area here, when I'm out and about and I'm talking to people, they would love weekend getaways. You know, a Thursday or Friday to either Sunday or Monday. You know, to Nashville, to Vegas, to Boston, to Virginia Beach, to places like that, to get a quick getaway. You know, something that's not going to break your bank, that you can find a cheap hotel, get down there, Uber back and forth to the hotel so you're not dealing with a car rental, something that's close to the beach areas or the hub of entertainment, be it Nashville or something else, and enjoy a long weekend away. I would take advantage of that. I think a lot of people would. So as we see ridership grows, maybe those ideas continues to grow, especially as people become frugal but still are spending money on long weekends. So we'll see where that goes. But it's good to see our airport here grow. It is a great asset. If you've flown out of many airports, if you are a frequent flyer, you know how desirable our local airport here is, how easy it is to get in and out of, how easy it is to get through. Parking is great. I really have – the only complaint I have about our local airport is the lack of destinations that you can go to without a stop. Now, that being said, stops are kind of part of the layover somewhere as part of the routine if you're traveling a lot of places. But if you can get a handful of you know, quick destinations that are just a quick hop to and from, no stops in between. Limit your downtime to where you're there real quick and you're on the ground in the restaurants, in the bars, on the beach, whatever you want to do there. I think it would be a great for our area. So I'm all for it. The more we can grow our little airport here, I think the better for us. I think it's one of our little gems here, and it's great to see some new airlines come here and expand and start to grow. Hopefully we get some old ones back to our area to continue that expansion. And with things like this, it would be more desirable for the maintenance and storage and layover for these airplanes as well. It's coming up on 3:50 here on WILK News Radio. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:54 as we're starting to come up on the 4 o'clock hour. After the 4 o'clock news break, we do have Tuesdays with Tommy. We're going to see what's on store for our veterans and military news when we get back. But as of right now, NATO 2025 is happening. And so far, it's been a lot of compliments in the way that the administration has handled the issue with Iran. And we'll see if that continues. There's been also some countries to say that they will not be upping their amount of support for NATO as far as meeting their threshold for budgetary funding for the organization. And we'll see what that means as well. I know this has been an ongoing struggle, but President Donald Trump is heading to the 20 or there already. I'm not sure if he's on the ground. North Atlantic Treaty Organization Summit at The Hague on Tuesday. Formed by the United States, the United Kingdom, and 10 other Western nations in 1949 to counter the expansion of Soviet influence throughout Europe. NATO today has 32 member nations. Trump has repeatedly complained about member countries not meeting defense spending targets. While the U.S. has never devoted less than 3% of its GDP to the defense spending, during his first term, Trump threatened to withdraw the U.S. from the organization because of this imbalance, often implying that NATO members benefit much more from America's membership than the other way around. And that is just a fact. While withdrawal never happened, the appeal has become even more relevant because the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. In 2025, Trump has repeatedly urged member countries to rise their spending, defense spending, to 5% of the national GDP, insinuating that the U.S. is footing the bill for their security by contributing more to Ukraine's defense. Former Netherlands Prime Minister, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, on Monday made it sound like the group is going to commit to the 5% spending target. As the world becomes more dangerous, Allied leaders will take the bold decisions to strengthen our collective defense, making NATO a stronger, fairer, and more lethal alliance. This will include major new defense investment plan ranging from the benchmark or defense investment to 5% of GDP and concerted effort to ramp up defense industry across the alliance, bringing not only greater security but also more jobs and a continued focus in support of Ukraine alongside the pursuit of just as lasting end to Russia's war of aggression. All this is essential to keep our 1 billion citizens safe. We have issues getting the majority of these countries to do their 3%. Where do you think that's going to stand? They can make whatever number up they want. It's getting them to abide by it or live up to it is going to be the problem. And if 3% is causing issues, what do you think 5% is going to do? One of the details of the emergence of the summit is the deadline for reaching the 5% target. There's been discussion of a 2035 or even a 2032 deadline. They've suggested that the 5% target be broken down into two categories, 3.5 for core defense capabilities and 1.5 for more discretionary defense spending. As yet, unanswered questions about whether members will agree to aid Ukraine can count toward that 1.5 target. Again, we have trouble getting more than half of these countries to pay their 3% of GDP into the NATO funding. I think 5% is a long shot. Of course, we will pay that if we're not paying it now already, but no doubt will be a struggle. And I believe one nation, I don't have it. I don't want to say the nation because I'm only guessing, but I did see the press release that one NATO nation leader said that they will not be adding an additional 1.5%. So we will see where it stands, and we will see what further statements come out of the NATO member meeting at The Hague from the NATO 2025 summit. Looking at some other news that came across, that more than 700 Iranians released into the U.S. under the Biden administration. We did cover that yesterday. There was an arrest of 11. We're going to get to that later in the show, where we'll talk about that as well. We're coming up on the 4 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio on this Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. It is 96 degrees. Make sure your pets have plenty of water. Make sure they have a shaded area and know that that asphalt and concrete can reach temperatures of 140 degrees. Make sure they're not walking on it. Spray it down regularly. Put a sprinkler outside to wet it down if your dogs have access to it, your animals have access to it. Other than that, try and stay cool. It's been a hot one the past couple of days, but it does look like relief is on the horizon. So only short-lived here, but for all those people who said summer is better than winter, here you go. Get outside.